Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequila-cation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
1, 2, 3.
I firmly believe good claps could induce an orgasm for Kate.
There's something about a good clap, man.
There really is. Ooh, there
clap,
really is.
Clap for me, Daddy.
Okay. Well, now. Okay. What?
All right. Two problematic introductions by Cons in a row. Honestly, I might have to have, we might have to have a roaming fire watch, and it's going to be Cons. Cons might be on roving fire watch this weekend. All right, let's get going with the show because it's a Friday edition of Zero Block 30, and I am pumped for this show because last night I was going through some of our Instagram comments that what we're going to talk about in just a little bit. And my friends, if you're not already, first of all, safety is paramount. Second of all, always buckle up, but especially when you're going to be listening to this edition of Zero Block 30, of which we have 5 rounds in the magazine. Round number 1, it feels like we can finally take a little bit of a deep breath about the situation in Iran and Iraq, and we're going to tell you why and where we go from here. Round number 2, our social media guy Kyle asked you guys, what is the most disgusting thing you witnessed a fellow service member do? And my God, you nasty, nasty little worms came through big time. Your answers made us throw up in our mouths just a little bit, and we can't wait to share those with you. Round number 3, there was a geolocation drama after a Lance Corporal cell phone gave away the position of an entire Marine unit doing an op. Nobody wants to be that guy. Round number 4, it was good vibes all around when 103-year-old World War II veteran Peter Fantasia finally received his combat medals after 75 years. So those of you who are sitting around waiting for your NAM to drop or your letter of appreciation to drop, you got like 74 years to go before you can really, really complain. Round number 5, courage is not the absence of fear, but rather moving forward despite fear. Does the ZBT squad have the courage to take on a challenge that I'm going to issue, the likes of which have never been seen? We shall see in round number 5. And all of that is going to be brought to you by the good folks at the Barstool Store. Listen, we were talking before the show kicked off. The ZBT merch is better than ever. We have all of our brand new updated logo stuff, the hoodies, the half hoodies, which I think in half hoodie in the springtime when it's kissing off in the morning and it's about 45 degrees and you can throw on a half hoodie and know you're going to be fine for the rest of the day because it's going to heat up to about 65. You're going to be looking fly. They are my favorite article of clothing that ZBT has ever dropped.
If you're a mom or dad who rides the riding mower, the lawnmower, it is the most perfect riding a lawnmower hoodie that you have ever seen. It is a delight.
I legit get compliments on it whenever I wear my ZBT one out. Even people at like the local grocery store or whatever, they're like, man, that's a kind of a cool thing that the sleeves are cut like perfectly. I'm like, yeah, because I didn't do it myself because I'm an idiot. They look great.
I wear
great.
Mine to bed.
Yeah.
It's perfect to sleep. Oh.
So soft, so comfy. Great for the gym. Yeah, I get compliments on mine too. It's because I am hot.
So go to the Barstool store, search Zero Block 30. You can see all of our gear, which we're going to have more.
It's been a crazy time since the new year started. So much going on. And this week, especially, tensions were extremely high. But let's give a quick recap of the week. On Monday, a letter sent from the U.S. to the Iraqi government appeared to claim the U.S. was preparing to withdraw from Iraq. But it turns out that was a draft that should not have been released, according to Joint Chiefs Chairman General Mark Milley. So, very start of the week, we have a huge snafu, and the pictures from that, General Mark Milley, the bags under his eyes, were Mattis level.
He looked dead behind those eyes. It was crazy.
So, again, it was a real memo that got sent out, and it got sent to Iraqi government officials as well, and then they were like, oops, that is a real draft, but it was definitely not meant to go out. Then, on what was Tuesday night here in the United States, Iran launched a ballistic missile attack targeting 2 bases in Iraq that house U.S. forces in retaliation for killing Revolutionary Guard General Qasem Soleimani. The attacks caused damage but did not result in casualties for either U.S. or Iraqi forces. So I mean, that night, Chaps and I were on radio when that happened, and I was in tears afterwards. I was so stressed. I don't know. Immediately, I was like, here we go. This is it. Fuck.
And yeah, and I think that people should, they should know that we're on radio, like, whenever they're texting us stuff, because it was like, that's something that is just consuming, and I can't imagine having a parent, having like a child or a wife or a husband that is in that zone, and you hear that there's actual missiles being launched, and some of the disinformation that was on Twitter was gross.
It was like, very terrible. Yeah,
trying to get, because initially the very first report that I saw was from the AP that they had launched missiles. The next report I saw was from some dude who had like been featured in Forbes magazine or some shit like that, saying that there had already been, the initial reports were at least 30 U.S. casualties. And I was like, oh my God, it is about to fucking go down.
We were so shaken, and we're like looking for updates. We're reading it on the air live on Channel 85 on Barstool Radio. And the worst part, clearly the worst part is the missile strikes and everything.
If you're there.
But
yeah,
immediately before that, we were talking about the new Girl Scout cookie flavor. We're like, lemon up, what the fuck is it? And there have been missiles that have been launched. It was like such a wacky transition, such a great.
Chaps made a great point in his blog, though. It's so hard now these days to know who to trust when you're trying to get information out there, because you don't know if there's a spin on it or not. You don't know if it's accurate or not. And then that's why this week on radio, I was on one morning, and my point was just like, hey, when things like this happen, instead of just rushing to give an opinion or rushing to try to get information out, just take a second and make sure your information is correct
before you start
scaring the heck out of people that they think, oh my gosh, my son or daughter is over there and something might have happened.
Yeah.
And we appreciate people who appreciate our input, like on situations like this, because we are the military voice at Barstool and the military voice for a lot of people. Like, they come to us, they trust our opinions because they know that we go through different sources and find it out. So if something major happens and we don't post an update blog, it's because our update podcast, it's because we're legit waiting. We want to know legit what's going on, so we don't have to go back and continue to make like revisions and say sorry that we fucked it up and things like that. But go on, Kate, what happened?
Yeah, so they launched these missiles. Again, no casualties for either U.S. or Iraqi forces. Even up until yesterday, I was under the impression that two Iraqi forces had been killed, and that wasn't the case either, thank God. But then, you know, photos are coming out today. They did do damage to some of our facilities and stuff like that, but no loss of human life. Hours after Iran launched that attack, a Ukrainian airplane carrying 176 people crashed shortly after takeoff from Tehran's main airport, killing all on board. The Iran's Road and Transportation Ministry said it was a fire that struck one of the engines. We know today that that is not the case, that it was one of the missiles that took that plane down. The following day in a press conference, so this all happens Tuesday night here in the U.S. It was Wednesday, early Wednesday there, but that all happens. Tensions were so high. That night, if you looked on social media, people were beside themselves. It was worry. What the fuck is going to happen? I feel like everybody in places around the world were just completely on edge. So
there was that, and there was a mix of other things as well. Like, it to me, it's crazy how we are in America now, where you're on the brink of war, legit missiles in the air coming down and striking on U.S. compounds in foreign territories, and there are still hundreds of people, like on my timeline, that were breaking down NFL prospects that were going in through other things. Like, nothing stops now. Like, we're so used to high levels of violence, high levels of war, school shootings and things like that, that in most areas of Twitter, the drumbeat does not stop for anything. Like, it just keeps on going, and people will be like, oh, well, fuck it. I guess I'll go eat McDonald's.
Well, when I walked out of the radio room after we ended the show, like, announcing that news, they were doing College Basketball Night in America in the office, so they're all eating hot wings and watching the games, and it was like oh yeah, but I mean, what are you gonna do? That you can't stop the world, because nobody knows what's gonna happen. But the following day in a press conference, everybody was waiting to see what our response was going to be. And so a press conference on Wednesday, President Trump said Iran appears to be backing away from conflict with the U.S. and signaled no further U.S. military strikes, to which I think from all sides of the fences, a collective sigh of relief.
Can we also just add in there that Wednesday morning there was also a 4.9 earthquake in southwest Iran also?
Yeah, the craziness of all these things happening at once.
Is the earthquake related at all? Like,
I haven't seen that it's related, but it's kind of crazy to think that, oh, and on top of this, an earthquake happened.
I mean,
what are we doing? Causing earthquakes? Like,
what are we talking about?
A ton of missiles hit the ground at one time.
If an explosion is big enough, and maybe in an underground bunker, it could cause enough of a seismic move that it would set off sensors.
I don't know.
I think it was actually a plate earthquake, but I don't think we're the scientists to speculate there. Yeah.
Everybody put on your tinfoil hats.
The coincidence of it is just a little too wild for me.
I mean, that's a big-ass butterfly to cause that kind of effect.
So Trump does his press conference Wednesday. It looks like Iran is backing away. We're not doing any further strikes. And then that afternoon, two rockets hit Iraq's green zone. And we're not quite sure from who, but many are speculating it's Iran-backed militias within Iraq, of which there are many. And in a way, a lot of times our war with Iraq was sort of a proxy war with Iran because so many of the fighters, bombs, weapons, financial backing came from Iran. Or the fighters were from there, or they were backed from there and whatnot. So directly, there's no more attacks, but indirectly, who knows? Who knows how that's going
to
go? So,
I think it's important to really highlight that point of how much in the last two decades of conflicts in Iraq and Afghanistan, Iran has had a hand in that. People, just because that wasn't in the headline, it was always Iraq or Afghanistan, people tend to forget about where some of the weapons, where some of the fighters were coming from.
Yeah.
And this isn't just, hey, I've seen, there's a meme or a picture going around that, you know, here's how we got here. And it's, the timeline starts in 2019, when in fact, no, this goes much further back than 2019, even further than 20 years ago. When you think about going all the way back to late 1970s into the 1980s with Iran. So it's a much longer road to how we've gotten here.
So we'll see. It's still tense. It's still scary. A lot could still happen. But after the press conference, I was relieved that it seems like, okay, everybody's taking a breath here. We're slowing it down a little bit. And hopefully everybody's in favor of de-escalation. So that's a good thing. Hopefully path to peace somehow, some way. We'll see. And if you're a troop listening overseas,
at the very least, shut up.
Yeah, like, everybody just shut the fuck up.
If you're in charge of one of these two countries, let's just shut up. Like, one of the Iranian leaders this morning was like, actually, we were trying to kill people. Like, legitimately, we were trying to.
Just shut up, dude. Yeah.
Well, then it was reported a few days ago that they deliberately knew that they were going to try to miss people and just try to fire the rockets just so they could say that they did something.
And well, who knows? I mean, it's
and
all
who
speculation.
Knows? It's all speculation.
But yeah.
Then on the other side, the Iraqi prime minister, I believe it was the Iraqi prime minister, said they, yeah, it was Iraqi prime minister Adil Abdul Mahdi. He said that Iran gave him the tip that these missiles were coming so that they could prepare for them.
Who knows?
Who knows?
It's a crapshoot. Either way, if you're a troop listening overseas, I got a DM this week from a guy that we met at the Rough and Rowdy in Fort Bragg. And he is over there. He said, I can't say where I am right now, but I'm sitting in the MWR. I listen to you guys. And, you know, it matters that people are talking about this stuff and still saying what's going on. So thinking of you, you're definitely, we're so proud of what every, you know, all the service members. And that sounds so tacky and corny, but I just have been constantly thinking about
And we'd
about
also
them this
be
week.
Remiss if we didn't mention the fact that MWRs across, like, deployed areas are the horniest hotspots in the world.
Oh, for sure. Very
I mean, when
wood.
You're in the MWR, you're looking for anything you can jerk off to later. Just
absolutely
anything.
It's true. That's, I think, the most important point of all of this segment.
Yeah. But take a deep breath. We're going to move on. We know that most of your conversations, if you are deployed or if you haven't deployed or if you're sitting on a base wanting to deploy, most of your conversations that you've had over the past couple weeks, especially the past couple days, have been surrounding Iran and things like that. We're going to move on so you can remove your mind from that for the next 40 minutes or so, because we're going to take you on a goof ride like we never have before, and we're going to start that in round number two. Here we go.
Your boy Feidelberg.
Round number two, we're going to get into a little bit, because even though it seems like the highest levels of tension with Iran and Iraq are kind of over with now, we're taking a little bit of deep breath, there was over 1,000 people.
What, John?
Sorry to interrupt. I have some breaking news. That plane was shot down.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
We just talked about it.
We appreciate the update, though, buddy.
Thought I'd let the little military guys know a little something about what's happening in the Middle East.
Thank you.
You said that with such a level of confidence that
we've talked about this ad nauseum at Barstool Sports, and there's nothing better than breaking news. And I was like, oh, wait, maybe this just happened an hour ago.
And they want
these guys
opinion.
Have been recording. Oh, I wasn't going to give opinions.
Yeah.
I was just going to lay the cards on the table, say, just so you guys know, shot down. I'll be back in 15 minutes.
The veins in his neck were bulging as he came in here to announce that.
All right. So even though the plane was shut down, tensions have kind of de-escalated a little bit. So that being said, there are still 1,000 members from the 82nd Airborne. There's still 100 Marines on deck. There's still thousands of service members in the area of Iran or Iraq ready to bounce. But right now, they are sitting with tons and tons and tons of downtime, which if you're in the military or if you've been around in the military, knows can lead to some very bad decisions and sometimes some very gross decisions. That being said, our social media guy, Kyle, put out a question on the Zero Block 30 account, which if you don't follow it, please do that, or you'll need to follow it, and I mean doing push-ups. What is the most disgusting thing you witness a fellow service member do? Kate, you want to walk us through some of these?
Sure, and first, I would like to introduce...
Yes, please introduce who we have in with us and why he's in here.
A fellow Barstool employee fights, John Feidelberg. He has the most notoriously weak stomach in the entire company. The smallest things make you gag.
It's such a ridiculous gag where the first time I ever displayed it actually was at the Barstool Sports 4th of July hot dog eating contest years ago. Mm-hmm. And Dave kept yelling at me because he was like, "You're faking this." I was like, "I'm not faking it, dude. I'm just trying to eat like a hot dog after exercising on a July afternoon. And it's just not going down right."
Yeah. And ever since, you have a legacy here of throwing up easily and gagging easily and all sorts of things. So we wanted to invite you in to read off our listeners' answers.
Now, okay. Just to be clear about one thing. I saw a single retweet of this. And it was someone like gnawing off a rotten toenail or something.
Yeah.
And I don't if anything's comfortable with that, I don't know how this is going
to
go.
Well,
I can't wait to find out.
I broke them into categories so I can prepare you a little bit. And the first
You should
one,
ask him which category he'd like to start with.
I'm just going to go right through it. Okay. We're going to start with sex. So some of the things we might have to explain to you a little bit, but I'm going to go right through it. At USMC, 03113 said, "Dangerous topic here, but I saw someone eat the banana in Okinawa." We got several answers like this. And Chaps, can you explain real quick what that is?
So there was a lady in Okinawa whose name was the Banana Lady. She was, whenever I was there at least, she was 81 years old. Oh, and she had been...
I need a trash can.
There you go.
She had been a stripper for your U.S. troops.
Oh, my God.
John now has a cardboard box that he is projectile vomiting
into.
I honestly
need a real trash can.
She had been a stripper for at least 30 years. And during her performance, she would shove a banana in her vagina.
Oh, my God.
And she would tell...
He is now running out of the room looking for a trash can and throwing up in said trash can. This is good. You know what? I didn't think the sex ones would get to him. But here we
gotta
are.
Get through at least this one with Feidelberg. We might have to kick him out, honestly.
Oh, now Kate has smelled the trash can. Kate's not doing well.
He spits in it.
So relay to him what I'm saying. So put his headphones back on so he can hear.
Put the headphones back on, please.
And then she chops it up.
and then the last one is free if you eat the piece of banana.
The last one's free if you eat the last banana.
Right. And so Marines, yeah.
People are now poking their heads in the studio concerned with John's well-being.
At Baseball Beaver said, "Saw two of my fellow devil dogs eat the banana at the banana show without using their hands." Without using their hands.
Yeah, she just flops it in there. She tosses it like a piece of popcorn at the movie theater.
To which Kaiser Bill replied, "Well, have you ever seen the snake show in Okinawa? I don't know what that is." All right, but we're moving on. That was the worst. We ripped the Band-Aid off. That was the worst part. At SRA, Isultani said, "I was at the bottom bunk in like a barracks kind of thing. Guy in the top bunk masturbating furiously. Didn't see it, but I felt it. Does that count?" What is that so gross?
All right. I think, John, we have reached the point where we no longer need your services. Thank you very much for joining us tonight.
I'm tired. I can go.
You can go.
Just so you guys know, the plane in Iran was actually shot down. I want to let you know about that.
He has tears streaming down his face.
Oh my God.
Hey, wait, hold on. I just want to read one real quick. Guy ate a live frog in the field for $20 and some smokes. He said it pissed in his mouth when he first bit down on it.
No, pee doesn't bother me. I'm good with pee.
Yeah, all right.
I'm fine with pee, yeah.
He's totally
I peed
cool
my
pee.
Bed until I was 27. Pee doesn't bother me.
Pee doesn't bother him. He's okay. Fine. It's fine. No. Totally good.
Thank you, John. Appreciate it.
Love you, Chapsy.
Love you too, buddy.
What a treat. Ladies and gentlemen,
thanks,
John Feidelberg, the weakest stomach in all of the strongest hair game.
Weakest stomach.
That's a shame. Moving on. This guy said, there's a lot of Fleshlight answers, so I only picked a few. At Mobilia 11 said, trade a Leatherman for a used Fleshlight. Lost in the Sauce said, pass the Fleshlight from the top bunk down to the bottom bunk.
Jesus.
At Matt Fiend said, three dudes shared an Avatar-themed Fleshlight, then passed it on to the next training class. Noah LaBear said, half of our flight shared one trimmer to manscape the day before boot camp graduation.
Okay, I don't think that's gross.
That's
I
not
think
that bad.
That's like common. Not everybody has little clippers. You got to share.
Right. But that's just no different than using hair clippers at a barber shop. They use
yeah,
the same
just rub a little alcohol on it and you're good. Right, I don't think that's gross.
Well, lest I remind you, I was the shower recruit in boot camp, and I was the one stuck cleaning up a mountain of pubes the day before family day.
That would have got Feidelberg for sure.
All right, next category, eating and drinking horrible things for money and or clout. And there was a lot I left off the sex one just because a lot of answers I left off the sex one just because I couldn't. I would have been like fights.
There's not many times I go back and I say to the listener or to the active duty service member what they should be doing. I would like to take a little time out, do a little lesson in leadership. Folks, don't make other people eat your cum. Like, if they don't want to, and it's not something.
There was some answers that I was like,
I didn't
see
that one.
That's assault.
Oh, wait, no, I did see that one.
There was a couple
like
that. Yeah, like
you can't just take a bag of granola, nut in it, and give it to your friends. Like,
that's
not funny.
That's not funny, right. There's people who thought their answers were funny that I was genuinely like, you might want to change your life.
We might have to put you on a list.
But eating and drinking horrible things for money and or clout. For me, once in the field, we were at M9 Qual. And a guy drank for $50, drank like a good amount of dip spit. And then another guy was like, whatever, dude, I could do better than that. Found a lizard alive, just put the whole thing in his mouth and ate it with like the guts dribbling down his
chin. Whoa, he just started chewing.
Popped it in his mouth and just went to town on that sucker.
In my opinion, the lizard part, that's just good damn training. Like, you never know where you're going to be. Like a jungle warfare trainer center, whatever, you can get a little bit of protein, extra calories, because you have one MRE essentially for 2.5 days. You got to make it go.
Yeah, we had people in here, a lot of people eating lizards, a lot of people eating snakes. Like you said, the guy eating the frog for $20 and some smokes, it pissed in his mouth when he bit down. I like this one, at RiverMD16, because it's the kind of like so much random shit happens. Mm-hmm. While in Oki, we had a guy eat sushi that was found in the middle of the road. By all accounts, sushi had been there a while. It was a really hot day of the year. He just ate the sushi. Didn't ask for any money.
In my opinion, after having been in Okinawa for almost 4 years, that's no longer sushi. That's just grilled fish.
It's
really hot.
Right.
You're cooking it on the coral. You're just having fish with rice.
That's not that bad.
But I love that not asking for money, just like doing it to make your friends laugh, just like hurting yourself to make your buddies laugh is so military. A lot more eating lizards. At MOS school, Fort Sill, one of the 0811s ate a fairly substantial scab off another PFC.
That
made
one's fucked up.
My toes curl.
Kind of wish John was here for that one.
At Mr. Glenn, who I believe is like a legit reporter somewhere, he said, ate some vomit on a dare. At Eric Dem said, he saw a guy throw up on a garage floor, and then the guy said, chicken nuggets, picked up a chunk and ate it.
And I've told this story before, like in that same vein, the grossest thing I've ever seen in my life was a veterinarian, whenever he was doing the necropsy on one of the working dogs that had to be put down. I went and watched like what happened, because I was interested in like the medical side of what was going on. He opened the dog's stomach and ate a piece of a Cheeto out of the dog's stomach. Like that was already there.
That's gross. But here's what I'm thinking about right now. You've ever taken gum out of somebody else's mouth and then started chewing it yourself?
No.
Never.
No,
never,
dude.
During like a
not even like a significant other, just like
fuck
as a goof.
No.
Just
no.
like
no.
took your gum.
Get out of here.
All right.
I've had it happen to me where a friend like popped the bubble that I was blowing and then just like literally ripped it out of my mouth and started chewing it. Everybody looked at him like he had six heads like, bro, what are you doing?
Well, my point being, when you first pop it in your mouth, it tastes a little weird, but then like one chew and your saliva gets on it and then it's fine and you don't even taste it
anymore.
What does
this have to do with the guy eating chicken nugget?
Because
vomit?
I think that would be the same type of scenario where once you pop the chicken nugget in your mouth.
It wasn't a chicken nugget. It was a chunk of vomit. And the guy was so drunk, he said,
no,
oh, chicken
it looks
nuggets.
Like, I read it as like,
once stomach acid is involved, it's totally different ballgame.
I don't know. I read it as that was chicken nuggets that the gentleman ate that he threw up.
Yeah. Oh,
he
God.
Ate a piece of chicken.
I just
Why
looked
are we
at Oakley's
this?
Wearer, who looks
gross,
like an
way.
Oakley's wearer, and his gross. Answer was a beer waterfall off the ball sack.
And this is our social media guy, Kyle's friend, I believe, that posted. This guy had a couple great answers. At Gent546, yeah, beer waterfall off the ball sack. I love this one. There was a few answers about people smuggling food during boot camp. At Maddie Mock said, during boot, a dude stuck an extra piece of bread under his junk to eat later. And he did 4 hours after chow in the field. I love this one. At Jonathan Danielson said, had a buddy lose a bet while in Sands Middle Range for FTX, did his punishment, which was chugging a 53-ounce bag of marinara
Good
sauce.
God.
He did it. And they included pictures. First, they're holding up this huge it's like a bag of wine. If you're picturing like the box wine, the bag of wine, it was like that, but with spaghetti sauce. They're holding it up. They're real excited. He's about to eat it. In the end, he's wearing a trash bag bent over. And the look of joy on his buddy's faces that he finished this huge bag of sauce is like, I'm like, that's what the military is all about, man.
I mean, that's
the acidity,
certainly a feat,
in that marinara sauce, the amount of diarrhea. That this guy would have and what that would – it would feel like flames coming out.
Oh, yeah. His buddies are smiling, and he looks like he's about to die. I love this one. At DCamp4417 said, there was a giant grill in the smoke pit of our barracks everyone knew not to touch. Drunk Marines would throw up or piss on it on several occasions. We showed up to a mandatory fun day barbecue and saw the CO and Sergeant Major grilling the entire command's food on it.
I don't think that's that bad.
No,
once you start the fire
Excellent
going,
point.
You're killing all the germs.
Get the
I think
fuck
you're fine.
Out of here. I like this one. At Sean M said, saw a dude catch a fly and eat it, and we were by the porta shitters. A few people of eating in porta shitters and eating bugs around the porta shitters. I like this one. Downtime on a long field op, a broke E3 had a big group of people promising him cash, including half a dozen NCOs singing the Marine Corps hymn to pump him up, to eat a piece of shit from one of our IED dogs.
Wow.
He washed it down with MRE peanut butter and only got $10 of the $120
that's
promise.
Fucked
that's terrible.
That's fucked up.
That's
fucked
up.
He ate this dog poop. I love that the NCOs were like, come on, dude, let's go.
Singing the Marine
Look,
Corps
listen,
really
because it was NCOs and staff NCOs who did this, Wispy Neckbeard, if you're listening, DM me, and from your handle, and I will Venmo you $110 to make up for what you were so wrongly not given.
No, he saw it happen to another E3.
Never mind. That's
so
offers off the table.
But, yeah, but still. Sorry, Wispy Beard. Wispy Neckbeard. At JP Meehan 22, at basic training, I woke up in the middle of the night to take a piss, and this kid was sitting up in his bed with his foot in his mouth, biting his toenails. That's the Air Force for you. At Jeffy Go Boom.
Well, I don't think that is the Air Force for you. I think that's a very Army and Marine move.
How is that? Is that any different than people biting their fingernails?
Yes,
because
dude.
It's your feet.
Is that a real question? What?
All right, I'm just checking. I'm just asking.
Oh, my God. What
about
are you
the
doing
effort
the
that you got to do to go through biting your toenails? You have to stick your entire foot in your mouth.
Here's why I think it's no different. Because if you think about your hands, you touch things all day, every day, and then there's germs all over your hands. Whereas your feet, by and large, could be encased in a sock and a shoe, kept away from all the germs.
Yes, but my hands
I see what Khan's is saying there. I think he actually is right. You touch way more gross shit with your hands than you
right.
do your feet.
Yes, but you wash your hands way more than your feet.
Now, speak for yourself, Kate.
Oh, my God. You guys are so
Who
gross.
Washes their feet?
I wash my feet every fucking night, dude.
Dude, most people just let the soap kind of come down their legs onto their feet. If you wash your feet, I need to know because that's not something I do every day. Hand up.
I heard Marilyn Manson can bite his toenails pretty easily. Anyways.
He finally get that rip removed?
He did. At Jeffy Go Boom said, 10351 sucking on the bent toe hook of another 0351. That's an infantry MOS for those listening. After being in Morocco for a week with no showers, the counter dare was to do a body shot of sweat out of another Marine's belly button. At Alex Townsend said, this really grossed me out for some reason. This one of all things. At Alex Townsend said, We had a dude that never rinsed his mouth while brushing his teeth in the field, and he never spit either. He would just swallow his toothpaste.
I mean, I get it. It's gross, the field. It's not terrible. Weird.
I like this one.
Well, did you know you're not supposed to rinse your mouth after
yes.
you?
What?
Brush
yeah,
your
you're
teeth.
Supposed to let the
you're
stuff
supposed to
sit
just spit
teeth.
It, and then the fluoride stays in your mouth.
Yep.
That's
the appropriate way to brush your teeth.
Mm-hmm. I can't do it, man. I can't do it. I like this one. Ari Mandel said this was pretty gross and linked a YouTube thing that just says Miller eats a grub with a
I don't think eating a grub is
back.
That gross.
Oh,
no,
God,
that's,
I do.
Again, that goes back to survival mode if you just got to get some protein.
And this one closing out the food and or drink for clout thing. At Bobby Jimmy 16 said during a 21st birthday party, dude chugged a pitcher and immediately regurgitated it back into the pitcher. Another dude picked it up and drank it. Nope. You know, that is hard no. All right, moving on to another category, weird body things often involving holes. At Superman said, witnessed a dude cutting off a hemorrhoid with his benchmade.
Hmm. I have a similar one. I once witnessed in the locker room, a guy had a cyst on his testicles. So after practice, he took a hanger and popped the cyst with a hanger and just like squeezed it all the pus out.
In front of
well,
other
I
people?
Did that with my yeah. eye. I sent you guys the video where
right. yes.
are the picture. Whenever
yeah, but you don't
my
shit
head
out your eyeball.
Speak for
yeah,
joking.
And I like took a yeah. Q-tip and pressed it up against and
yes.
popped the thing in my eye like it was a pimple.
Yep.
And it was like blood was dripping all down my face.
There's a whole show dedicated to popping cysts and things of the
I know
ilk.
That, but this witnessed a dude cutting a hemorrhoid off. That's personal. Your legs are
that's
way
definitely
open.
A little different.
You're pulling out a hemorrhoid and you're cutting off. Who's watching this? And then again,
I have a question too. Can we do it and explain it to Brent?
Sure.
What exactly mm-hmm. is a hemorrhoid?
Well, it's whenever it's one of the polyps in your colon come almost to the outside and it gets caught on your ring sting and then like you push it out a little bit. It's from you mostly get hemorrhoids from sitting on the toilet too much, which
yes.
I'm surprised it's not an epidemic being that people will spend so much time on their phones when they're on the shitter.
You correct. Ever get a shoelace sucked into the spokes of your bike? It's kind of like that. Anyways, Payne and Kane said, saw a guy put dip in his wiener hole. That is.
That's.
If you think your first dip makes
that's
your head spin, yeah, that'll make your head spin quite literally. at Owl 0341 said, passing a dog chain through throat and nasal passages, to which several other people replied with photos like, yeah, man, totally, where they're pushing their dog tags like up through the string, up through their nose, and then pulling it out through their mouth.
Gotta imagine that inflicts some permanent damage.
I don't know. Those little beads just rolling through. I love this one. At Bobby Light 555555 said, for some reason, we had a guy who farted into a water bottle when he had to fart. In parentheses, yes, he put the bottle up to his butthole to fart in it. There was a Madden Showdown loser who had to take the bottle to the face. Needless to say, there was vomit everywhere along with a sinus infection. I love
probably
this.
Pink eye.
Yep.
Yeah, lost this Madden game. You got to sniff my fart out of this bottle. My butthole actually touched it. So. I think this was our guy Kyle, our social media guy Kyle said, mine would have to be an LAV mechanic shoving a 5-hour energy bottle into his ass and going down on all fours to see how far he could launch it.
I'd love to see that. I honestly would love to see that.
Yeah.
What do you think the maximum effective range of a 5-hour energy bottle out the butthole is? 5 feet?
I was going to say 5 meters.
I feel
5 meters, 15 feet?
Oh,
that's
buddy.
A long way.
Buddy, think about when you've had explosive diarrhea and how that has hit the bowl. Think
As
about
somebody
that.
Who's had it since Easter of 2007,
yeah.
15 feet is a long way. I mean, that's basically doing a watermelon seed competition with your butthole.
Well, chaps, you're talking to an artillery guy over here. Cons knows his distances with this stuff. True. I think that's part of the training. They got
yeah,
to do
will,
butt.
There you go, Cons. This might be one of the first times I will cede to your expertise.
Yes.
Thank you.
This next category, physical injury that hurts everyone to think about. At C Wire said, toss up, one Marine ate a dung beetle fresh out of the porta shitter in Kuwait, but another Marine snapped a mouse trap on his junk in front of the entire platoon for $50.
I mean, you're just threatening whether or not you can have children later in life if you so choose with that.
I've done something similar, not with the junk, but whenever I was in Fallujah, we would go back to the kennels. After I got shot, I wasn't doing much. I was like hanging out at like the different headquarters and things like that, flying around different bases. So when I was actually on a base, I had a shit ton of downtime. Got real bored. I had a pretty hairy chest. I got, because we had dog food all around, we had to like basically cover the ground with those dog, with the mouse traps that are sticky, not the ones that snap, but the sticky ones, so we mm-hmm. could catch them and move them out. I had Marines cover my entire front of my body with the mouse traps, and they ripped all the hair out, like right before we were about to come on.
I didn't include this, but there was a lot of pubes either getting ripped off or burned. Like, yeah, I let my buddies pull my nut sack and we burned my pubes.
All right, I know Kate has a bunch more, but we have, I think we've reached the end of, so why don't we give, I'll give you two save rounds on this one, Kate, because I think we have exhausted the fact that Marines and Army and sailors and airmen do really gross shit.
I didn't even hit the poop category yet, but that's all right, that's all right. Anyways, check out at ZeroBlog30, both Twitter and Instagram. People gave great answers on these. There's just so many good ones. I like this one. The Howard 96 on Instagram said, watching my buddy take a shit on all fours, crab walk style, in the patrol base slit. I just love that shit, man. Just those, like, zero rhyme or reason. At Cryptographer and- said, I put used shit paper inside my squad leader's flak before patrol once, like, as a goof. So he's on patrol. He's like, something smells like shit, man. I mean, that's actually pretty fucked up if you think about it, but kind of funny.
Kate, and see, I think
looking back, like whenever we talk about what we miss, like whenever you have like reminiscing, it's this kind of stuff. This is what people, whenever they get out and they're reminiscing, hanging out with their buddies, they're talking to their friends on like Veterans Day or Memorial Day or whenever, and you're getting back. These are the stories that last a lifetime that you'll tell because they're just so absolutely outrageous that nobody believes they're true, but every single one of those outrageous conversations, outrageous sentences that we just read, I don't doubt at all. Single one is 100% true.
Yeah, you cannot make these types of things up.
Yeah, but a final one guy at PBenz 586, one guy was taking a piss and my buddy washed his hands in the other dude's piss stream. And I could go on and on. There's so many great answers to this. But yeah, I mean, the poop category.
It's sterile. It's
sterile. It's a good thing. So there you have it. So many good answers at ZeroBlog30, and that's with a 30 on Twitter and Instagram. So check out those answers. A ton of good ones. And let us know. Hit us up. Let us know your own. So that we can tell fights
and
again.
Always thanks to everybody who participates. I put it up on the Instagram account and saw this morning that there was over like 400 responses of what's going on. So it's something that strikes a chord. That being said, let's move on to round number three.
Round number three comes to us from our friend Gina Harkins at military.com. A junior Marine got his artillery unit into a serious bind after snapping a photo during a massive training exercise in California's Mojave Desert. 10,000 troops descended on 29 Palms for the biggest training event of its kind in decades. The Marine sailors and NATO forces faced drone attacks, cyber breaches, and other high-tech challenges during the exercise. But one team was taken out by a different kind of threat, said Lieutenant General Lori Reynolds, the Marine Corps' Deputy Commandant of Information. Quote, a Marine in the exercise took a selfie of him being bored. It showed in that selfie it was an artillery unit. You could go geolocate him and you could see what unit it was. They were like, okay, you guys are dead.
First of all, I'm going to cut you off there. Not only did this Marine like use his cell phone to get the whole unit found, it was of him being bored.
Yeah.
So it was like, not only did the highest ranking officers in whatever they're looking at, and they're like, this little motherfucker. Yeah. Not only is it like, hey, out this training op, it's like, look how fucking boring this is. And that's what the higher ups like at command see come across the thing.
Right. As leaders, you know people are going to be bored at some point, but you don't actually voice that to anybody, especially people that might see it at that rank.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's a tough lesson to learn for a young Marine. And I'm sure that Lance Corporal was not happy, but it's okay to learn those things in 29 Palms. We don't want to learn those elsewhere. Good point. This is especially important when countries like Iran have sophisticated cyber capabilities. You're going to dig a hole, you're going to camouflage, you're going to turn off all your stuff, because if you can be seen, you can be attacked. So,
yeah, there you go.
Great lesson learned. And as she said, learning things like that in training is certainly the better place to learn it. And I was just thinking how difficult it must be, because when I got out, phones were not, they were obviously very prevalent. I'm not that old, but they were not the apparatuses that they are today, as we know them today, with all of the capabilities, the video games, the movies, and everything you can do on phones now. It was not the same back then. I would imagine that is such an added challenge as a leader to know to go out to the field when you know there's going to be a ton of downtime. You know your soldiers or Marines are going to get bored. And to impart on them the discipline to know, okay, it's okay to take my phone out at this point, but other times it's probably not the best to take my phone out.
Yeah, it's tough. I just love the thought of the command, especially with artillery, that it's important to lay low and keep your spots. Mm-hmm. I just love the thought of like that command officer and some higher up coming in from elsewhere and being like, hey, you guys are dead. Your whole unit is out. And like, why?
Yeah,
you know, Lance Corporal Schmuckatelli, he was bored earlier. So that's why you guys are fucking out.
He was swiping on Tinder and he was bored taking selfies.
And then I would imagine if I was them, I would have all the enlisted, I would have them all form up and be like, we're dead. Does anybody know why? Anybody know why we're dead? I'm like, I just picture that one little butthole in their like
Well, I was standing and took a selfie and killed my entire unit. I'd like to apologize for embarrassing myself, the Marine Corps, and our naval traditions.
Yes, I can absolutely see it going that way. But like I said, advanced capabilities. Remember when Russia was like, no, we're not in the Ukraine. No, we're not. No, we're not. Well, we knew it because their guys were posting photos and selfies and geotagging themselves there. It was like, no, we have proof, you idiots. So
and this is something because you know they do shakedowns now. Like whenever we saw, I think it was the 82nd, whenever they were going over, they weren't allowed to bring cell phones or personal computers. There was an article that was written about that.
Yeah.
I think they're going to be in the market. If you go on Amazon right now, you can look up prison phones. And there's these phones that are big enough that you could shove them up your butt. Like they're never going to be able to completely stop soldiers, sailors, airmen, and marine from having cell phones. And as addicted as this culture is to your phone, I can't imagine, legitimately, imagine going now and being told that you're deployed and not having any access to your personal phone. What would you do with all your time, like your downtime? That would be so strange to get used to again.
Oh, absolutely. I was thinking the flight over there, just not having your phone to listen to music on and shit. Like, oh my God, what do? You're stuck with your thoughts for super long. But yeah
I hope you can find your old iPod.
But
that's what happens.
T's and P's to that young Lance Corporal. May God have mercy on your soul.
I wonder, though, too. Like,
he's going to have Firewatch for sure.
I wonder if during field exercises now, commanders will say surrender to your phone before the exercise starts.
Oh, definitely. They definitely
have to, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all right, like let's going move to on a golf outing.
Let's move on to like going to the Masters?
Yeah.
I was like, I golf with my phone all the time. Yeah. All right, let's move on to round four.
Round number four, good vibes all around, guys. A 103-year-old World War II veteran is being honored for his time in the military 75 years later. Peter Fantasia of Somerville, Massachusetts, received 8 medals, including the Bronze Star, and they were given to him by a former ZBT guest, Representative Seth Moulton, who was a wonderful interview, and he has his own very, pretty incredible story from his deployment as well. But he presented Mr. Fantasia with the medals at a special ceremony Monday of this week. Fantasia had previously received his Silver Star, the nation's third highest award for valor in combat. But when he was serving with the 26th Infantry Division as a U.S. Army medic, he was captured in France in 1944. And this happened while he was tending to a wounded sergeant and lieutenant in a foxhole. He was then held prisoner of war until he was liberated by Russian forces the following year. And it took him so long to get home after that, that he just never sought his medals. Mm-hmm. By the time he finally got home after that whole ordeal, he was like, you know what? I'm good. He said, God has been good. I don't know what to say. He expressed gratitude for his comrades, said they were with him in spirit. It wasn't just myself, he said. I had help one way or another. And Seth Moulton said he's a true example to the rest of the country and the community what American heroism is all about. And just completely selfless. You know, this, he said, I did what I had to do. I got home. And kind of that was that chapter of his life. But the photo, you can see the whole town came out for it. It looks like a really nice turnout for the ceremony. He's sitting there getting acknowledged. And I think no matter how much time has gone by, that's so important that these men mm-hmm. and women get acknowledged. So 75 years late, but congratulations to Peter. Not congratulations, but you know, much respect to Peter Fantasia because that's
and I will
incredible.
Say that's typical S1. Let's hurry it up, S1.
I know, right?
I mean, my God, 75 years.
Classic.
What is wrong with that S1 shop?
And we think there's a backup in the VA. It's the S1 shop. My goodness.
I think that just speaks to that majority of that generation. They didn't care about medals or what have you. They just cared about doing what they were signed up to do and to protect this country from what was going on in the world. And they didn't really care.
There was some who did.
Oh, there's definitely some who did. There's definitely some heroes out there who are like, hey, did you put in my paperwork for that NAM? It's like, dude, we are under attack right now. Maybe put that off until many times later.
Round number five. If you've been following this show, if you've listened to me talk about military matters for any period of time, you'll know that one of my favorite quotes, that my two favorite quotes I'll say that I learned in the military is one, courage is not the absence of fear, but moving forward despite fear. I think that encompasses all bravery, that everybody, no matter what position you're in, if you're doing something that you're about to die, you're going to be scared, but you got to keep pushing on anyway. And my second favorite one is bloom where you're planted. I think that that one encapsulates my leadership style. Wherever you're at, some people want to deploy, some people don't. Wherever you're at, do the best job you can and be the best person in that position that you possibly can be. That being said, we are in a position here where we're not asked to do things that are courageous all that often. We just talk in front of microphones, we write blogs, we do social media stuff. We're not asked to do things that are courageous. That being said, I'd like that to change. Every time I go to New York City and I am with the rest of the squad, I would like the ZBT squad, and they don't even know what I'm about to say.
No, this is a little scary.
Yeah, what is happening?
To take on a challenge of courage, of things that we have to move outside of our comfort zone and complete these tasks, and not only just for the listener, but for the viewer as well. The first task that I would like us to do for our courage test is when I come up on January 20th through January 24th, I would like the courage of this unit, this ZBT unit, to only eat egg salad sandwiches three times a day for every day that I'm there. If you want a snack, the snack has got to be egg salad sandwiches. Do you two, and three, Bren too, do you have the courage to take this challenge?
I feel like you're asking me if I have the courage to fart. Like, what? I feel like my head's a little tilted. Listen, buddy, I love egg salad. I'll do it. I don't know why, but I will. But I also don't understand.
I don't understand what makes us courageous. I'm the type of person, I can eat the same thing for every meal without being a problem. Like, I don't get bored of different foods. So I don't know.
Your farts are offensive.
Exactly. Do we want my farts to get worse? Do we want that Thursday reporting? Yes. To be so bad that Kate vomits and maybe attacks me. Here's the other thing. It's January.
Like, okay, egg salad. Like, I'm trying, really rolling around.
Yeah, she's not happy about this. But it's January. Huh. I'm trying to watch my caloric intake.
Okay.
You know? So I'm not necessarily even eating three times a day as it is.
Okay.
But, you know, whatever we got to do, I'll do it.
I mean, Kate. That's. I'm trying to think of something else courageous we could do.
Yes, okay. What else we can do?
All right. That's my initial thought. I'll say that's my initial go-to reaction. You know, whenever
we'll workshop it.
Yeah, we'll workshop it. Whenever you're going through and I'm sitting there, I'm like, you know what would be courageous? Eat an egg salad sandwich for a week. Okay. If you have a better idea of what's courageous, what would be a good courage challenge, go to our iTunes comments. Comment in there because that's the place that we're going to see it for the longest. And tell us what we should do as a courage challenge. It's got to be something that all four of us can do while I'm in New York. You have about 2 weeks to think of it. Let's say this. We'll announce it, what it'll be next Friday on the show. So take a couple days. Put your comments into the iTunes comments, and we will let you know what the courage challenge is going to be. Either way, we definitely are going to do courage challenges because I think that that's going to be really, really fun.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Let's move on to save rounds. Alibis, we'll start with you, young Bren. What do we got?
So I'm just feeling like shit recently. Sorry to hear that. I haven't gotten my flu shot.
No.
It's not because I don't. Cause I know where Chas is going to go he's with this. My mom is an anti-vaxxer. She's not an anti-vaxxer.
Anti-vaxxer Bren.
I just haven't gotten around to it. So my question is, when you guys are deployed, do you guys have to like keep up to date on shots? And like, are you worried about transferring diseases to the Middle Eastern people who you don't normally interact with and that kind of stuff and vice versa?
You get a bunch of shots before you go.
Yeah, they give you a million fucking everything.
So there's different levels of like medical readiness they have. They have like four categories of medical readiness. And in order to deploy, you have to get all the shots for that region. Like whenever I went to Japan for the first time after I graduated from canine school, they give you a certain series of shots because there's certain illnesses that you can get in Japan that aren't here and vice versa. If somebody from Japan comes to America, there are certain shots that they have to get. So wherever you're going in the world, there are certain shots that medical dictates that you have to take. You don't go unless you're a dental class one or medical class one or two.
Yeah, so they make sure you have all your shit. You're pretty good. Yeah,
gotcha. I'm feeling like medical class like 7
Uh-oh.
Or 8 right now.
Yeah. Oh, somebody's got yuck body.
Better than dental mouth where you have yuck mouth. That's the worst insult, too. Yuck when you mouth. Get told in front of the entire platoon that you have yuck mouth, that's fucking terrible. All right, what about you, Catherine?
Let me see. I had written something down. Oh, starstruck. I was out at a bar this week, and you won't believe who I had drinks with.
Oh, my, who?
Huge star. Mega star.
Long time.
And long time stoolie, yeah.
Yeah. Art Garfunkel's nephew. Can you believe it?
I cannot. And
Kate's kind of downplaying this last night.
Of all the gin joints in all the world.
Kate's kind of downplaying this now, but last night on radio, she was legit convinced that she had met a celebrity because she met Art Garfunkel's nephew.
Yeah. I was listening. You were over the moon about this. And here's my take. I didn't like how much he prompted everyone to ask, hey, he who's my uncle?
That's what I said.
He did.
It's like
he
maybe maybe you make one comment about like, oh, yeah, I'm hearing my uncle, but then you let it go. You said he mentioned something 3 or 4 times.
Until the bartender was like, okay, all kid, right. Who's your uncle?
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway. I don't know, Cons. I think Cons is a big connection guy. I think he'd be doing the same thing if he was there. You came in last week whenever we recorded on Tuesday, and you're like, guess who I had beers with?
Well, that's
why I had beers with.
All right. Well, I think that's a little different. That's the actual individual. I thought that was a little cooler than
mine's. Anyways, he dropped out of infantry school because of an injury, and now he tours with Art Garfunkel. And his role is to like walk.
Wait,
on stage.
You didn't tell that story. I didn't know that part of it.
Yeah, he dropped out of infantry school. It wasn't his fault. He got injured, and they like had to set meds up him. And now he tours with Art Garfunkel, and his job is to go up on stage before the show and say, excuse me, everyone, please turn off your cell phones. So I just, what a treat. Anyways, oh.
That'd be a good job for Lugo, honestly. Lugo should have that job.
Yeah. Hey there, yous. Turn off those damn cell phones. My uncle, Art Garfunkel, he's about to come out and wow you with a little bit of musical expertise.
I love that.
Nobody sees you in their back on Facebook. Nobody sees you.
Yeah. He'll be perfect. And those rifles from 3-6, still missing. That's my only other update. How about you, Cons?
I got sent something from my uncle about my great uncle, and really the point of this is just if you have family members that have served in the military and never really asked questions, ask questions. Because I knew my great uncle Matt was a fighter pilot in World War II. I knew he got shot down. I didn't realize he had a Silver Star, 3 air medals, and then obviously the Purple Heart for getting shot down. Cool part of the story though was he was just floating around in the China Sea. And would have died if not for these 3 fishermen that picked him up and saved him. And then he later found out that they were looking for some sort of monetary reward. He went to Washington and was able, you know, and this is back in 1953 that he did this. He was able to raise $10,000 to give to these fishermen for saving his life. So that's pretty cool.
That
story
is really cool. That is awesome.
I didn't know about it, that he was as decorated as he was. And
pretty amazing.
Went to Harvard. No big deal.
Ooh.
Yeah.
All right, mine is going to be 2. I think this is the first time I've ever had 2 save rounds. First of all, we're doing Firewatch, so I would like to first volunteer that I am going to have the first and last shift of Firewatch. As a leader, it is important to take accountability for your actions. On Tuesday's episode, I took a bite of yogurt. Even though it was yogurt, I have been very forceful in enforcing the rules that there's no eating, that chow is not continuous while you're on the podcast. I did it last week, so hand up. I will take first and last shift of Firewatch. Second, our Firewatch of the day is who, Kate?
It is none other than basketball announcing legend Dick Vitale. And it is for a tweet that he posted on Tuesday evening right after the Iran missiles news came out. And it went as follows.
Like many, I've been following the news involving the attacks on al-Assad bases in Iraq by Iran. Also, I've been checking Hoops News and 4 teams should get a tip of the hat. Rutgers, Providence, Maryland, Boston College. They had W's over Penn State, Marquette, Ohio State, and yes, Virginia, baby.
Dick Vitale, what the fuck, Dick Vitale?
Yeah, maybe,
what
maybe
the
just,
fuck kind of tweet
maybe
was that?
Maybe break those 2 tweets up.
Yeah.
Maybe. You know, it used to be that we had, I think it was 70 characters or 140 characters. Now it's 280. Break those into 2 separate tweets, Dickie. Nobody has any issue if you do that. Just break those 2. Just thread them if you need to. Just don't put them all on the same 280.
Well, can't
do that,
Dick. Think about
Dick.
That. Think about that on Firewatch.
Recruit, where have your
name is. I know you have no fire watch, therefore I fixed that tonight.
Hi, sir.
People right away were like, Dickie V, no. It's like the, what is it? You want to be like the dog trainer who squirts him with the water bottle and like, no, stop it. Don't.
I think that's for cats, but that'll work too.
Okay. You know when you were a dog handler and you squirted your dogs with water bottles?
Yeah, I always had was an M4, an M9, and a squirt bottle. That's what I always carried.
Mm-hmm.
That was me. All right, and the second one, I want to give a shout out to our guy, Sam Stoddart. He came on the show a couple years ago now, and Sam is he was a British soldier, and he spent time in Iraq and Afghanistan. And this week, after 7 years, if you want to go back and listen to his episode and hear his story, after 7 years ago, he stepped on an IED, and he had to make the decision recently, and he actually had surgery yesterday. He made the decision because of the amount of pain that he was in to amputate his leg. And I can't imagine the amount of pain and suffering that you have to be going through for that long to make that decision. And this isn't something that's just unique to Sam. We saw Christy Ennis make this decision. We saw Tammy Duckworth and many others make this decision as well. The aftermath of war is not something that ends whenever you come back. There's people who recover for years. Kyle Carpenter was in the hospital for nearly 3 years. The pain and suffering that happens with war is why we take situations like what happened in Iraq and Iran the last couple of days so seriously. Because it just because the tensions have died down and the tweets and the provocations are going away now, the aftermath of the people that are on the ground stays around for years, whether it be physically or mentally. Those sufferings will happen for years. Sam, we wish you a safe recovery. We know that you're listening now. We're thinking about you while you begin that recovery process once again. And hopefully soon, the pain that you're experiencing will be as minimal as possible. Sound the retreat.
Really beautifully said, Chaps. Well done.
Thank you.
Also, I keep looking at this cardboard box filled with Fites' vomit spit, and it is making me sick.